Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Hi, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and tonight we're going to be talking about healthy narcissism. And when I first heard that title, I was like, what? How is that possible to have a healthy narcissist? But there's a lot of research out there, and my co-host, Miss Amy Frost, I'm going to have you come just right on. Hey, Amy, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing fantastic.
Yeah, so Amy had gotten the book back with her birthday, and started talking a little bit about it to me when we were having some conversations. And, boy, I went ahead and looked it online for just different things out there for healthy narcissism. And, boy, there is quite a bit on there. So, and we also want to have Miss Gloria scooting up to the table. So, Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
Oh, elbow room only. Move over.
I mean, we need to make a little more room here. Come on. Scoot over. There's enough room for everybody here in the cafe. That's always the truth. So, and just for a little bit of housekeeping, I want to welcome everybody all over the world. But we've got diners all over the world. We've got people in Ireland. There's somebody in Ireland that checks us out every right after the show gets published. They're checking that out. So, in France, you name a country, and we pretty much have some people that are coming in and really visiting us. And we really thank you, everybody, for making your comments and ideas and questions in the forum, and we really enjoy seeing all the different messages that we get. So, with that whole narcissism, boy, that's even hard to say. It's just really an interesting looking at that, and the fact that it's healthy, it really surprised me. And boy, since I've learned about it in having adult, you know, what it is to be healthy with that as an adult, I just thought it's just really, really interesting. So, Amy, where would you like to kind of start with the conversation?
Well, let's just kind of dive in. You're right. I had gotten a gift certificate for Christmas. No, I guess it was my birthday. It felt like Christmas. And I got the 30-day sobriety solution, which we talked about before. And next week, tomorrow is my last day of the 30 days, and so we're going to talk about that. And it felt like the book Disarming the Narcissist and the subtitle of Surviving and Thriving with the Self-Absorbed would really go well with doing the 30-day sobriety challenge. And for me, it's about working with my work addiction and living consciously, working consciously. And in the book, it's the Wendy.
Who is it by, Amy?
Okay. Wendy Bahari. She has been working with narcissists and people who are dealing with them for many, many years. And I think I've been doing work with handling difficult people for many years, and that's been a kind of a hallmark in my career, that I'm called in a lot to talk about that and to help people to deal with difficult people. And a lot of times people struggle with, we're just talking about narcissism right now, but there's a whole lot of different things you could label. I'm not a big fan of labeling, but I think narcissism is a great place to start when you're talking about handling difficult people. And I believe it's on a continuum. And so I'm going to kind of give you an idea of what that continuum is. And the reason that I thought it would be good just to have the title Healthy Narcissism and a question mark was to be looking at what does that mean? So first let's just talk about what they're going to define really as a difficult person, a narcissist. So there is in the book, there is an assessment to help you with that. And so you would check the ones that somebody you're dealing with. So I'm just going to walk through this really quickly and just kind of in your mind going, okay, is there a person that fits this? Self-absorbed, it's like everything's about them all the time. Entitled, they make the rules, they break the rules. Demeaning, they put people down, they tend to be a bully. They're demanding, they demand whatever they want. Distrustful, they're suspicious of your motives. You know, and I've heard this a lot in my life. Oh, you're too nice, which I can't even imagine is a possibility, but you're too nice. perfectionism. You know, it's really okay to have high standards, but when you really play this insane perfectionist game where nothing is good enough, and no matter what you do, the standards just get tougher and harder, so you're never going to meet them. It really is more of a game for them than a true mark. A benchmark would be something that you would use to have good performance. Perfectionism is just to drive you insane. They talk about being snobbish, that they're better than everybody else. Approval seeking, unempathetic, unremorseful, compulsive, gets overly consumed with details and minutia, addictive, they can't let go of bad habits and they use them to sell food, and last but not least, emotionally detached, that they see what's going on, but they're not connected to it. And we found a really neat graph, and hopefully Andy can put this on, but I really love it. It has, it says the universe, and there's me in the center as the sun, right? And around goes my stuff that I care about, you know, and others, or a tiny little planet way out there. And it's all about what I care about and what's important to me, and anything else really doesn't exist for me. So I guess we'll just kind of dive in. So that, to me, is the, you know, like you say, the shadow side, almost the dark side of narcissism. We'll come back to the other side, but what, you know, when you start thinking about that, Gloria and Robin, do people come to mind for you that? And what I've noticed is a lot of times, this is a really big topic, so we're just going to kind of dive in bits and pieces. Where narcissism a lot of times comes from is not getting what you need as a child. A lot of only children have this issue. And it's a wounding, and recovering from a wounding or not, I guess. So the further out you are, the more that you haven't really dealt with it, you haven't really worked with it. So any thoughts about people that you've dealt with in your life, in your workplace, in your family, that have been way on the wayside of this?
I'm glad that you brought that up, the aspect of family and being unhealed, because it can be passed down. And it even, you know, it isn't necessarily 100% where you have it, but if your parent had it and they were wounded, then their attitudes and their personalities, their traits, their needs and wants get dialed into their parenting. And it becomes part of a reality that, as a child, until you go out into the world, you don't know anything differently. And so it programs your traits. And a lot of it can be misperception, because if you're pre-programmed, you don't know that it's not the way it should be. And I was going to bring that up, that, you know, yeah, we can talk about those things being difficult. I mean, every single one of those attributes that you said, I identify with, yet as an individual who has looked at it, you know, you can still feel that way and yet moderate, because you realize that it's not right. And so
it's not ultimately effective.
Correct. And it's not healthy. And yet if it's been ingrained or patterned into who you are as an individual, so you have varying levels of this. It's not just something that starts with you as an individual. It can get passed down.
I think it is always passed down. And you said we see it in our workplaces. You know, I've done a lot of work with employee assistance programs. And when I walk into an organization, I see, oh, there's mom, there's dad, here's sisters, here's brother, sister, and what they're working out together. And you're like you're saying, very much so, I agree with you, that it's learned behavior. And we take that behavior into our workplaces. There are narcissists running a lot of organizations, even nonprofits, dare I say, in the world. And a lot of times they keep doing it until they have some significant emotional event that says, wait a minute, this is not working for me, and I have to do something differently. I have several really good friends who are narcissists, and they know they are. And they have spent a lot, I've met a lot of them in working on my master's in psychology, is they knew they would divorce or they would get fired from a job they love because people, you know, really disliked them and found ways to undermine them. So I think it takes a you say, a significant emotional event, and it's interesting to say it that way because we tend to be emotionally detached. And why do we emotionally detach? Because we don't want to get hurt. Or we may have an issue with not really having the emotional intelligence. So a lot of that. And so if it's not about a blaming, it's about, you know, what is. And Byron Katie's work, you know, suffering comes from not accepting what is and coming from that place. And what is it that I want to do about it? You know, like the serenity prayer. And so, Robin, is there anything you wanted to say? And I want to give the flip side of narcissism.
Because, I mean, here the show's about healthy narcissism. And we're like, yeah, narcissism sucks. But there's a lot of research, too. Yeah, I know. There's a lot of research out there that here we're talking about people who are in leadership positions. And with a healthy narcissism, that's actually a dynamic that's actually one of the positive aspects of having a healthy narcissism is the way that you would be a leader, because they can conceptualize the purpose or vision and can formulate a direction for people to go. Being able to hold that vision for some people that may necessarily have this a strong sense of self-esteem. So it's helping them to have that sense of confidence.
Well, let's be honest. I don't want to run right to that. And we noticed it was healthy narcissism with a question mark. And part of that is that they are allowed to get away with stuff. So I don't want to go right to isn't that great and look how wonderful they are. They cause a lot of damage, too. That's why it's important, I hope, that people get an opportunity. And I've had people come up to me in workshop and say, oh, my God, I have been abusive. I have been mistreating people. And, again, it's not about labeling people, but it's about what is my part in this and what are some things I need to learn. That's why I think it was important to start with that part. If they go unchecked and they don't have a reason to change, they're not going to. So let's look at the healthy side. And like I said, it was really interesting because the reason I did want to do the title Healthy Narcissism is because whenever I start having this conversation about narcissism, people start going, it's so awful. But then it's like, there's much more to it. And I have a lot of times narcissists are running the joint. And I do believe, and a lot of people say, oh, narcissists can't can't change. I think they can. I think that they can use that in a very positive way. So let's go. And she talks about healthy narcissism in Disarming the Narcissist. And she says, so how might we characterize healthy narcissists? Typically, they possess many of the following traits and display them frequently and with intensity. So let me read through those really quickly. And so let's bounce off the last list with this list and say, how could you be finding that balance? Where are you on the continuum, and what kind of work do you need to do? They're empathetic. They're tuned into the inner worlds of others. Engaging. They're charismatic, socially literate, and interpersonally companionable. Leadership, they can conceptualize a purpose or vision and can formulate a direction when collaborating with others. Self-possessed, they're confident and rigorously committed to generosity and authenticity. Now think about this, right? That's a whole different kind of self-possessed, isn't it? When you're really looking at it from commitment to generosity and authenticity, it makes it a whole new standard. Recognition-seeking, they are fueled by positive approval and motivated to make a difference. Determined, they can push beyond dense briars of opposition. Confrontational, they hold others accountable without, and I love this, assassinating their souls. And then last but not least, wisely fearful, they can discern between reasonable disquieting solicitation and destructive seduction.
See, I think if you take all of those as the big picture, instead of like focusing, like I know I had pointed out about leadership and things like that. When we take it as a whole and looking at what healthy narcissism would be, it really helps to frame it in just a different perspective. Like you're saying, Amy, it helps us to look at it with a new standard of having it be that way. The Huffington Post, while I was doing some of the research, had a really great article that was called Narcissism Myths, and it was the five different things that people want to blame, that say, well, you know, that's what narcissism is. And, you know, they were saying in the article that there was a big change in the psychology of narcissism back in the 70s. And what they found with the research and stuff that they had is like, you know, yes, there are extremes and there's different aspects of, you know, people, you know, showing the real ugly side of narcissism and the more psychotic side of, you know, being able to have that be something that's, you know, detrimental to people. But there's also the other one. So let me run through these really quick and have you guys kind of talk about it. And one thing I really want to point out is, you know, Amy said this to me at the beginning when we were talking about doing the show. She's like, well, Oprah Winfrey is a healthy narcissist. I was like, what? Oprah? You want to talk about Oprah for a second and why that she is?
Well, if you look at everything that I just, you know, quoted, I believe that she holds that. And she is so, look, and she never married, right? And she's very, you know, and if you look at her world, and they cite her in this book, and she talks about Oprah Winfrey, like other icons of the media, makes us feel grateful for healthy adult narcissism. Without it, the eye-opening issues and lessons of transformation that emerge from her provocative interviews might not reach our awareness and mobilize our senses. Through keen-edged, frank, and sometimes prickly conversation, viewers come to witness missions of hope, humility, and possibility, and develop a profound connection to personal responsibility.
Yeah, because I mean, there's healthy ways of confronting and being able to really hold somebody accountable.
Right, and at Youth University of Santa Monica, one of the skills they taught us, they called it carefronting. And it was really about how do you hold others accountable. And I love this one that she says in the book here, without assassinating their soul.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing is Gloria talked earlier about, you know, where narcissism, the term, came from. That is like, it's really carefronting to me is holding the mirror to them and they have to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Not me beating you over the head with the mirror.
Yeah, really.
Well, you know, life is really all about finding balance and determining, you know, what's going to work and what's healthy, not only for you, but for other people to have healthy relationships is all what this is about.
Well, when we go back to this article from the Huffington Post about, you know, some of the myths of narcissism, I think one of the things that it really goes into is just talks about how without narcissism, and, you know, healthy-wise, the levels of just feeling like you can step out for yourself, you can speak up for yourself, have ways that, you know, you're willing to speak up for other people and being a place where you're, you know, coming from a place of compassion. It's like you're saying a sense of generosity. It's about not worrying about, you know, I need to make sure that I'm taking care of myself. And it's like, if you're generous, you know that you are, and then other people can be too. So there's just all this, just different way. It was funny. I was doing a table sale with Gloria had come, because I was doing some pre-sales for graduation. And we were sitting there, and I had told her we were talking about the show a little bit about, you know, where we could go with the conversation. And this girl comes up, and they had a thing where people could sign up, and then later on I'm going to contact them for their sale. And I said, you know, wouldn't you like a beautiful, you know, flower lay for your graduation? And she said, well, doesn't that seem kind of narcissistic? And we both looked at each other like, oh, there it is. And I looked at her and I said, you're celebrating all the things that you've accomplished. And it's a matter of, you know, a way of celebrating yourself. And she just kind of looks at me like, oh, okay. So it wouldn't be something that's, you know, oh, grandiose of like, wow, look at me. And I said, you know, there's a contest on campus, you know, where see how some of these guys are like, how many lays can I wear, you know, flower lays can I have around my neck while I'm, you know, coming down in procession to graduate. You know, some of them will have like 30 or 40 lays on them. It's pretty funny. There's just like, you know, is there a guy in there or what's going on?
Well, and if you look, it could very well be that it was a cultural influence, if you remember, because there are certain Asian communities where, you know, you don't stand out. You don't even have eye contact.
Right.
And so it could very well be a genetic. It could have been passed down genetically as well.
Robin, may I make a point here that has helped me with this? Doing this research and working with this for a while, what's come to me, it almost feels right to me to put, and this is just me speaking, to replace narcissism with ego.
Okay.
And so
healthy ego, health, and an unhealthy ego, yeah.
Right, and ego is not a bad, good or bad thing, but it's something that we must have.
Mm-hmm.
And without it, you're not frame. You have no frame. But it's when your ego is out of control and owns you and is running your life instead of your higher self, as it were. So it's almost like, you know, you have an ego that's running rampant and doing things that's all, you know, it's in a protection mode. Or almost are you coming from an ego that supports the higher self? That's kind of how I look at this. And that's how this makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think there really is something to go with that, too. And then they're kind of like, what do you think about it, Gloria?
I agree.
Okay, there you go. I love Gloria. It's just short and sweet, and that's the answer.
Okay, we're done. All right, I'm out.
I agree. All right. Well, just thinking, I'm looking at some of these myths, and it says, I'm like, you know, if we replace the word, ego, it says the narcissists love themselves too much. Again, this is myths about narcissism. And it says loving others as badly as they love themselves, or loving each other, or loving themselves, more than they love themselves. It's like you have to love yourself before you can love anyone else. Was the comment of that, you know. So if we look at ego loves a person of ego loves themselves too much.
And really, in unhealthy ways too. Think about it, right? You can do things that are very damaging to yourself. Love is, you know, can, if you define it yourself in unhealthy ways, it's unhealthy.
Because I mean, you know, that it's just like that sense of self judgment and the way people will judge themselves so harshly. I mean, so much of that is ego driven. You know, so we would say that was, being driven by narcissism. It's
okay,
kind of the
narcissism
comes, but to see that's like a contrast. Yeah, that would be a contrasted conversation.
And it's a term that somebody, right, made up. And Gloria, you want to talk about, you know, where the whole narcissist, you know, the myth of narcissism, I guess you would say?
Oh, I used to really be into Greek mythology. And one of the stories that they would tell was about one of the minor gods who loved to look at himself in the pond. And he would come down to earth just to look at himself in the pond, and he was turned into a narcissist.
Yep.
Hence the meaning.
Yeah, so when you talk about... Go ahead.
So I think it's when you get so absorbed, you're not, like when going back to these healthy traits, that you're not thinking about how do I make a difference in the world? How do I, you know, stand up for the right thing? How do I, you know, it's good to be confident and committed to generosity and authenticity instead of how do I become more powerful? How do I take advantage?
Yeah, because when it comes to the sense of being empowered, you're wanting other people to be empowered as well. Being able to be the model and, you know, and a mentor for others.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that narcissism could be the strength of all that. So it's like one of the other myths was healthy narcissism creates a me decade. And it says it's plausible but misleading. Clinicians have used this term for healthy narcissism to refer to being normal and described in aspects of the world. Generally, there's the sense of self-assurance, being satisfied with yourself and with feelings of love and greatness, ambition, and the foundations for having accomplishment. I mean, you know, I think that's just such a key thing about, you know, what do you do when you have accomplishments? Do you take your time to have those when you have some small things that, you know, that you've completed? Will you take the time to be able to celebrate that, or you just push on and to say, okay, the next thing, instead of pausing for a second to really acknowledge the accomplishments that you've done and that, you know, you stood strong and made sure that things got taken care of. And there's always that kind of, you know, being able to do self-check-ins and self-nurturing for yourself. So, so any other exercises or something for people to kind of go to be able to look at this for just, you know, being able to do a check-in? I know with the Huffington Post, there was a test. It's a Narcissist Personality Inventory, which is the NPI, and you can go on the website to be able to take that. But they also have a cautionary disclosure with that, saying that, you know, part of the whole narcissism is when it comes to the general public, it's skewed when it comes to having things getting tested. So that's something to consider when you're looking at all these different aspects of the, you know, the personality traits and whether it's something that's detrimental or healthy for yourself. So what was it saying for purchase-safe exercises for having it being positive?
Well, and one thing, a point I want to make, and then this hopefully will help step into that, why it was important to me to pair narcissism with work addiction is that when you're so focused on work and getting achieving more and making more and doing more, that I think narcissism can be part of that. And it's that lack of awareness. And it, you know, in the sobriety, day 29, they had a quote from Wayne Dyer that I think kind of fits in here. And I was sending this out today. It says, this is Wayne. When I chased after money, I never had enough. When I got my life on purpose and focused on giving myself and everything that arrived into my life, then I was prosperous. And as I said, it's about being focused on what is my life purpose and giving to myself and to being present and giving to everything around me. And when you're in that space, you really open up. I think a great thing to do, I don't have anything right here, maybe Andy can find something, but I think emotional intelligence is a really good place to start, and really looking at, you know, like Gloria has made some really good points about where am I at, where do I want to be, what kind of happily ever after do I want to be in. And emotional intelligence, there's many, many different characteristics of that, and you can go take an assessment on that. I think that would be a really great place to start, find an assessment, not really on narcissism, but on emotional intelligence. Because what you're doing is you're building up yourself in a positive way. And everything that I cited on what is a healthy narcissist, those are all traits of somebody who has really strong, healthy emotional intelligence. And so what I would do is I would get an assessment on emotional intelligence. What areas do I want to work on? And pick one and start on that, and then pick another one and start on that. And all of a sudden you'll start noticing that you're happier and people around you are happier, and it feeds on itself. You'll be more empathetic. You'll be more charismatic. And you'll be able to have the life that you may envy from others.
Yeah, I'd like to go back to that, just the eight things really quick. Not necessarily, you know, the full definition, but they're empathetic. They're engaged with others. There's a leadership of showing vision and can formulate and direct. They're self-possessed, meaning they're confident in the way that they can communicate and are generous and authentic with them, you know, with others. They're recognizing the positive approval and motivation that makes a difference for other people and themselves. They're determined. They're willing to be in, you know, confrontational in ways that are safe and respectful for others. And they're wisely fearful. You know, they can discern between things that are acceptable and not acceptable. So I think those are all things when it comes to healthy narcissism that, for me, were big ahas about, you know, looking at just, you know, even the me generation and looking at, you know, what have we been communicating with, you know, with our younger people, and how does that really pan out when it comes to where we are going as a society. So, I think it's good stuff, because it's really helping people to feel good about themselves, feel good about the accomplishments and things that we're doing. I found a couple really great websites today that were inviting young writers to put their ideas out, you know, for the internet. And I'll go ahead and have this listed too. One was called The Elephant Journal, and it was really great about all these different young writers talking about how they're seeing the future. And it was very, very encouraging. Very empowering to see, you know, how we can be making a difference and doing different things in the world. So, and having that be a really good one. So, what was that other one, Amy? Do you remember offhand?
The Mind Body Journal. We found a really good article on how people who have really strong empathy can really be taken advantage of and really hurt by people who are very strong, negative, whatever you want to say it, narcissists. And that, I think, was very helpful, too. Let's see if we can find that. That was a very helpful article, too. That, you know,
yeah, there's a lot of really good information out there. Yeah, very, very good
information. And one thing that really comes to me as we're talking is being very assertive. And when you're assertive, you're standing up for your rights, but you're also caring about the other person's rights, as opposed to being aggressive, where it's all about me, 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 me. So I think assertiveness and aggressiveness is another scale to look at.
So as always, 30 minutes goes way so fast. And I really want to just encourage everybody to, you know, be checking out just other websites and things. We'll be listing a few different resources for people to be going to. And also the book that Amy's been looking at, we'll have that in our store if people want to go ahead and take a look at that. So it's just a place where, you know, learning to be able to fall in love with our unique and empowered self is really what we're talking about, and being able to share that and being able to appreciate other people's uniqueness and their the way that they're able to be just positive influences in the world is really what we're talking about here. So, you know, as I want to thank Amy and Miss Gloria for joining me tonight. And we'd really love for any comments, questions, ideas for everybody out there. And, you know, thank you again for tuning in. And we will see you next time here at the Transformation Cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.